Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy T.P. Thomas back at the helm. Well, there can only be one, people. It is that Monday. Welcome to the Monday Night Force Wrap-Up. We got a lot of stuff to get into. I got 60 minutes with y'all. I can't go overtime. I can't. The National Championship is here. We got NFL playoffs to jump into. The Southeast region of the United States is where everybody's eyes are glued into. I got family in South Carolina, and my aunt right now from up here in Connecticut is down there in Alabama right now, as my great aunt passed away too. So it's coming in loads my way, man. So I got people in South Carolina in my family. I got people in Alabama right now. So I'm focused on both of those states in many different ways. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive. Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, we got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded here in Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef, man. And we got to cook up something marvelous. I'm feeling some type of way, man. I emotionally burning like crazy. Playoff started. The first week of the playoff wheel, if you will, or the playoff table, however you want to look at it. And right now we're at the national championship, where I'm not going to lie, I'm a little happy, Sports City, because when this playoff bracket went down, I said the national championship would be Alabama and Clemson. So I'm feeling some type of way. I'm feeling some type of way because the game is here right now. I'm just hoping that it goes down the way that I called it. Calling in by way of the state of Michigan, the New Yorker, the Brooklyn guy himself, Chandler, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Chuck, man, I'm good.
Secondly, calling out of the state of Virginia, my brother down there from the U, Tommy B. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good. Let's go, ACC. Bring it home, Tigers.
I don't like that one. I don't like that. It sticks in my craw. It sticks in my craw. Okay. Before
can I bring something up real quick?
Yeah, Tommy.
I just got something. I wish Nas was in here. You know what? Let me just wait and see if Nas, because he's another one of these ones. I like the band/ the NCAA. So I'm going to see if Nas comes in first, and then I'll say something. It's something about Alabama, the NCAA, and the former wide receiver Cooper.
You might as well get it out there now. You just cut me straight off. You might as well get it out the way.
I want to know. I can't wait to see when it actually does hit the fan. There's reports that Cooper bought the whole team. Not some players, the whole Alabama roster Beats headphones. So now I can't wait to hear CAA say why that's not a violation, when I believe it was Dez Bryant that had dinner with Deion Sanders and they suspended him the whole season. And they're limited so much food during the year, or what they can't get, like cream cheese on a bagel or whatever, all this different stuff. But a player for Alabama, former player for Alabama, can buy Beats headphones.
Okay, well, we'll see if they do run into an infraction. I doubt it. They're about an hour and change away before the game starts. So we'll see if the NCAA stops the game, which I highly doubt, over some headphones, which I really think that they do need to revisit that situation. But it's been year upon year where you see a college player get caught up in something like that. They get held out for the season or miss a certain amount of games over senseless stuff. And I understand some people may be privileged, some people, you know, may be the spoiled brat, if you will, in this situation. Right now, it's the pinnacle of college football, and not to give them any excuse or leeway, but we'll get into that. That wasn't the first thing I was going to topic. The first topic I was going to jump into, excuse me, but I was going to get into the national championship talk, believe me. The show is surrounded by this, so I can't hide from that topic. First and foremost, I do want to go into Sunday to see how you guys feel about this, and I really want to kind of call this like the hors d'oeuvre or the appetizer, however you may look at this situation, but this is an entree. I'm sorry. This is an entree. I mean, this is, you know, just run up at the buffet, fill your plate up, and do what you need to do. Come in here and eat. We got that food for thought for real. Now, if you are the type of person that likes defense like me, I'm not going to lie. I like both sides of the ball. I like seeing strong offense. I love seeing defenses shut people down. But this was a defensive matchup. I want to apologize to the Minnesota Vikings. That's right. I want to apologize. And here's why. I called them out. I basically said, can they slow down Russell Wilson and that Seattle Seahawks team? And they did all that they could for all four quarters. I don't even want to just, you know, give the leeway. Well, let me just throw that out the way. The Seattle Seahawks win the game 10-9, which if you're under a rock or you're not a sport person, well, you're listening to us, so you're a sport person. But that's how the game went. Now, they did their job. They held them to 10 points. And the Minnesota Vikings had the ball last, basically, and were basically within the 20-yard line. I think they were at the 9, but I'll give them within the 9 to the 13-yard line, wherever Adrian Peterson last carried the ball and forced a fourth down. And this is where the elephant in the room starts, and I'm going to throw this one around the kitchen and see how you guys feel about this. The kicker Blair Walsh gets up there, 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. That's all he needs to make this kick happen. And pulls it. It pulls it extremely left. Nowhere near coming in between the uprights and has to face the you know, Viking Nation. I don't even want to say the state of Minnesota because it's more than just the state of Minnesota. I can't even lie. My own mother is a doggone Minnesota Viking fan. I'm talking about a diehard. She loves the Minnesota Vikings. And don't even want to talk to me about football right now because she's mad because she knows that they should have won the game to make the kick, so on and so forth. Now it's getting to the point where you got Walsh taking all types of threats. I don't know if it's going as far as death threats, but people threatening him. You got people online burning Adrian Peterson's jersey. I mean, I've seen it all, but we as fans, and I can't even lie. I'm going to speak on behalf of everybody that's a sport fan. I'm probably the sorest loser ever. I'm going to admit it. I don't like losing that marble. I don't like losing that cards. I don't like losing the coin toss. I don't like losing nothing. I'm not burning my jersey. I'm not burning a pal that I just spent over $100 or $200 on just because we lost the game. I was pissed when the Lions lost to the Green Bay Packers on the Hail Mary. I'm not going that far. I'm not threatening nobody. But I know I'll be pissed. I know I'm mad. You know, like, please don't bother me. They'll all tell you. Tommy and Chandler will tell you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk to nobody. Like, leave me alone. But it's been getting out of hand, which I agree with the public or the general people that have watched the game. that said the same phrase that I said when it happened. Oh, my goodness. Or, oh, my G-O-D. Like, a lot of people won't want to say that. But, you know, that word came out when he pulled the kick. It's like, what could have happened? Like, and I don't want to blame this on one person because, you know, they always say that there's a ton of plays that led up to the scenario. They set you up to be right in front of the uprights. They set you up to be right there, Ross. I hate to do it like that, but, I mean, I don't know where else I can look. Teddy Bridgewater, the young guy. Adrian Peterson trying to bounce back and carry his team by himself. They had the receivers on the outside to do it. You had a defense to hold the Seattle Seahawks team to 10 points. I don't know what else they could have done to be in this game. They did everything that they needed to do to drive downfield, and they had to drive downfield to make it happen and get in field goal range to make it happen and still end up losing the game because of a pulled kick. I mean, they could have been. We couldn't look at different scenarios of the game or what have you, but me personally, I'm looking at a guy that all his job is to do is nail this kick. They pay you $1 million a season to nail this kick, and it was a short kick. It's a, you know, a chip shot, and things happen, you know. But I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Tommy, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on how Seattle still, and I'm calling this a steal, or being given a Christmas gift, however you want to paint the scenario, in Minnesota in -2-degree weather.
It played out exactly the way I thought it would, or without the missed kick. And didn't somebody on the show last night, or yesterday, I should say, say, oh, Adrian Peterson's going to be all over the place. Adrian Peterson's going to rush for 150 yards. You got to remember, Adrian Peterson, the Vikings were down 14-0, so it pushed him away. Where's this person at? Because Adrian Peterson went for 45 yards like I said he would. He'd be no factor. And I believe that was the same person that said that the Packers would be, game would be over by halftime. When that was, we'll get to that one next, I guess, later. It's played out the exact same way that I thought it would play out. It was going to be a defensive game. Bridgewater did what I thought he had to do. Move the ball, beat them. They weren't going to let Adrian Peterson beat them. Just like they did the last, I think it was week 13 they played. It went the exact same way. And Bridgewater had his moments where he did well. Then he had his moments where he didn't. I mean, it was a defensive game like I thought.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on this matchup, you know, moving forward, and I can't even lie, I give Chandler 100% credit on putting Minnesota in the playoffs. Minnesota should, I'm not even going to lie, Minnesota should be advancing. I feel terrible that Minnesota isn't advancing. They did everything that they needed to win the game. Even looking at, you know, Richard Sherman's expression while Walsh missed the kick, you know, Richard Sherman just fell to his knees and just put his head on the carpet and basically just, I don't know whether he was praying or, you know, just happy and you know, the situation that was going on the field. But I feel terrible for a Minnesota Viking team that was, you know, just a kick away from advancing. I mean, of course, Seattle probably would have gotten the ball and been able to try and do something with seconds on the clock. But, I mean, the percentage was low. But, Chandler, your thoughts on the game and how it ended in a 10-9 fashion?
Well, I don't feel bad for them because it's part of sports. Part of sports is losing. I keep hearing everybody say they did everything they were supposed to do. No, they didn't because they didn't make the kick. So they didn't do everything they were supposed to do. They didn't make the kick. It happens. Kickers miss kicks. Guys miss blocks. Captain Munderland took the bad angle because he was supposed to have outside contain. Otherwise, Seattle never gets the touchdown two plays after the pass to Ricardo Lockett. Because if he keeps his freaking outside contain, Russell Smith never gets outside of Russell Wilson never gets outside of him, and that play never happens. So, you know, I was trying to tweet it before they went for the kick. because I thought they should have gone for it on 4th and 1. I really do. I think they should have gone for it on 4th and 1. I will always believe that. I didn't get a chance to tweet, so you can believe me or not, I don't really care. But I thought when I saw them not go for it on 4th and 1 and decide to kick, I thought that's where they lost the game. I didn't think they were going to win the game. I said, he's going to miss this kick. It's a young kicker who's never been in this position. He'd already made 3 kicks. They almost got to the last one, so I know that was in his head. He was rushing, trying to get the kick off because they almost got the previous one. It was set up for him to fail, to be quite honest with you, if you think about it. Inexperienced kicker, they almost got his kick. You're in the playoffs, and this is for the game. It was a recipe for disaster. Really. Everybody wants to talk about the laces and this and that. Maybe. But look, the bottom line is he snap hooked it. Okay? The little bit of golf I've tried to play, that looked like one of my shots. Okay? Where it goes directly left, 90 degrees left from the time I hit it, it goes 90 degrees left. And I'm like, how the hell did I do that? It happens. Adrian Peterson shouldn't have fumbled the ball. He knows better than that. Again, we got another running back who is more concerned with getting yardage than understanding the time and the situation. Situational awareness. Adrian, whether you got those yards or not, you guys are in position for a field goal. What are you doing? What are you doing? Captain Mullen, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, and by the way, on broken plays, what's the one thing they tell quarterbacks to do? Stay with your man. Stay with your man. Minnesota secondary, on that missed snap, what the hell were you doing? You don't stand around looking at Russell Wilson. Nobody tagged their man. You tag a man, and you stay with him on those broken plays. You tag somebody, you stay with him. You grab his arm, something, but you stay within arm's reach of him just in case. Mike Zimmer, you could have made some better calls. I'm not putting this on Blair Walsh yet. The ultimate thing that happened was he missed the kick. There were a whole lot of things that led up to that that were not good. The Vikings play about as well as you can play for a team that doesn't know how to win. And that's the truth of the matter is they didn't know how to win, and the Seahawks did. And their inexperience in big games, their inexperience in close games, their lack of people who had been there, done that before, showed up at the end of the game. It happens. They have a bright future. They're going to make the playoffs probably for the next 3-4 years. They're going to make the playoffs. Okay? So this is what happens. This is what happens to inexperienced teams. They make bad decisions. So I don't feel bad for them. This is part of the process. For good teams, this is part of the process. But, you know, I'm not going to kill it. And if you're a fan of a team and you want to start running around threatening people and all this, let me be real clear. Don't do it on social media. Seriously, don't do it on social media. Go up there to the stadium when the players are coming out. Walk up to that player that you're talking about you're going to do this, that, and the third to and say it in his face and see what happens to you, like what happened to the cat that ran up on Jahlil Okafor. See, don't you wind up face down in the gutter, okay? All you tough guys, all you keyboard gangsters, okay? You think you that bad? Run up on one of these professional athletes and watch and see don't you get your freaking clock clean. Now I'm not happy that Jahlil Okafor was getting in face, but I bet that dude that he knocked out cold won't be running his mouth to any more athletes after this, drunk or sober, okay? You want to be a tough guy on the internet? Get your punk ass off the keyboard. Go down to the stadium. Stand there where the players' parking lot is, where they sign autographs. Jump the fence. And if security don't whoop your ass, the players will. That's all I got on that.
Kevin, you really thought he was going to miss that kick from 16 yards out?
Yeah, I really did. I really did. I really did. Like I said, I couldn't tweet it fast enough. Otherwise, I'd just say, look at my Twitter account. But I really thought they were going to lose the game when they go 4th and 1. I don't know why I thought that. I just thought that with everything that was going on with this team, and again, I go back to the first game of the season with them, Ty, and I told you they would lose the first game to the Niners. And I remember you sounded like, you know, I had told you that, you know, I was having a baby coming out of my neck.
Hey, no, 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 no. No. I was with you. I said that they were going to beat the Niners. I said the Niners were going to win that game.
Right. But what I'm saying is, if you, my reason behind it was because this is a team that still hasn't learned how to win in big games. What did I tell you? The big games, that they've played in three big games all season. Three truly big games. They lost all three. The first game against the Packers, the first game against the Seahawks, and then this game. They played in three big games. They lost all three. So when they settled for going for a field goal, because the entire play calling sequence there was set up for a field goal. They weren't trying to get a touchdown and settling for a field goal. They were trying to get a field goal. I'm like, you try for the touchdown, you settle for the field goal. With Mike Zimmer, with the play calling that was going on, I'm like, man, he's going to set this team up to lose. And that's exactly what they did. And, oh, by the way, shame on you, Mike Zimmer, for throwing your kicker under the bus. Shame on you.
I did not get the statement that he said on the kicker. What was said by Zimmer toward the kicker?
He said it was a chip shot. Kicker had no business missing it. We all understand it was a chip shot. We all get that. But you also understand this is a young kid that feels badly enough. None of his teammates said anything like that. How dare the head coach? How dare you? Adrian Peterson stood there and said, it's my fault because I fumbled the ball. Other guys were saying, it's my fault. You win as a team, you lose as a team. All Mike Zimmer had to say was, yeah, we missed the field goal. Period. And like other coaches have said, there's a lot of plays that leading up to it, had we done some things differently, had I coached better, we wouldn't have had to be in a position to depend on the young kid. That's what good coaches say. I've heard them say it. You have too. You don't stand up there and throw that kid under the bus. You don't do that.
Okay. Anything else left toward this game, whether on Seattle's side of the ball, moving forward in this playoffs, while they carry their talents to North Carolina in an epic matchup? You basically put Russell Wilson back to the scene of the crime, where it all began for him in North Carolina State before he transferred to Wisconsin? Or does Cam carry his talents up and where they stopped him last year and creamed them when the Seahawks took care of business? But it was in Seattle, but they basically shut Cam down and that Panther offense down in an epic matchup for the Seattle Seahawks. Or do you want to talk about Minnesota moving forward into next season, or do we go into the next game, of which Green Bay and Washington went at it?
Well, since I'm going to be on the show Friday, I'll go ahead and take my picks so far. I'll text you my final picks, Ty, Friday, and you can tell them on the show. Right now, I'm going to go with Seattle to beat Carolina just because they've already got a game under them. But I'm not 100% sure on that pick yet. I want to see how it goes with these injuries for Carolina. If Stewart's going to be healthy enough to play, and if Ginn's going to be able to play.
They said both of those players are due to practice Wednesday. The one person that I am worried about is Marshawn Lynch. If Marshawn is able to give it a go, that's another gun behind Russell Wilson, in which I feel like in some of those carries that the Seahawks had in the game, if Marshawn was there, he probably would have picked up more yardage. But his abdominal injury must be more severe than what we're being led on to believe. So I'm going to get into the next game, Green Bay going into Washington, or Maryland, excuse me, up in Landover, up against the Washington Redskins, in which – thank goodness it happened, even though I feel bad that I'm cheering for the Green Bay Packers on so many different levels. I'm an NFC North guy. I do not like the Packers at all. But I already pegged how the Super Bowl was going to go down. But watching how the start of the game went, I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, how bad could Kirk Cousins make me look right now? And, of course, here goes DeSean Jackson again, at the goal line, not putting the ball across the goal line the correct way, in which the refs did call that correctly. They called it correctly. He did not score a touchdown. held them to a field goal, and basically held Washington out of that end zone as best as they possibly could. Washington basically stopped it. You know, their offense didn't even put up, you know, that much more production throughout the game, in which Aaron Rodgers got started and put up 32 more points on the board and ended up winning that game 32-18. I mean, so much seesawness, up and down, the stock market, I could call it, how this thing was going back and forth, so on and so forth. But once, I want to say, once Green Bay figured out what Washington was getting comfortable with, it was over. And once halftime came, I actually said it to the people that I was talking to during the game. I said, it's over. Washington doesn't have it any longer. And Green Bay is advancing. Washington is season is over. And so many different interesting things coming out of Washington. One, RG3 leaving a letter behind while he cleaned out his locker. A very interesting letter. I actually like it. I'm not even going to lie. And not to just say it because I do respect and like RG3, but his letter that he left for, I don't know whether it was the organization or reporters, but it was very in-depth and detailed on how he felt with saying no names. But at the end of it, you can kind of tell where he was detailing it toward. And moving forward, do they really look to Kirk Cousins to be that guy? Is Kirk Cousins the next Doug Williams? Is Kirk Cousins the next Mark Rippon? Is Kirk Cousins that new guy there? I mean, on so many different levels, there are my questions for this Washington Redskins team. And the Packers, I think after this win, could get their mojo back. Even though Washington isn't the best defense that they'll face, this could actually stir them into that scare that could have had everything stop short for this Green Bay Packer team. Chandler, your thoughts on this matchup, Green Bay winning the game 32-18, your thoughts on the game and any other perspective toward it?
You like that? Do you like that? Because I like that. You like
I
that?
Do.
I like that. Let me answer his question finally. Yes, Kirk Cousins, I do like that. I like the fact that you lost. I like the fact that you only led your team to one offensive touchdown. One. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. One. That you could not get your team in the end zone but one time in a playoff game, but yet all of a sudden I'm hearing you're supposed to be getting $15 million. That would be, listen, remember when the Buffalo Bills gave Ryan Fitzpatrick all of that money when he had that one good season? How'd that work out for the Buffalo Bills the very next season? He sucked.
They let him go.
Yeah. How'd it work out with Mark Sanchez and the Jets? He had one decent season. They gave him a boatload of money. How'd it work out? Sam Bradford, Matt Flynn. Oh, here's a blast from the past. Scott Mitchell.
Wow.
Here's a blast
really?
From the past. Scott Mitchell.
Really?
Listen,
really? You want to do that? Okay.
Really. I'm comparing Kirk Cousins to Scott Mitchell. Yes,
don't
I am.
That.
I am. Okay. Oh, wait. Here's an even better one. Rob Johnson with the Buffalo Bills. Remember that? We don't need Flutie. We got Rob Johnson. I didn't work out for the Bills. Oh, that's right. Rob Johnson was a – go ahead, Washington. Make another mistake at quarterback. Go ahead and make another mistake. But as far as the game goes, it kind of played out how I thought it would in the sense that Green Bay started off slow, and then they eventually exposed Washington because Washington couldn't get players changed on time. They couldn't get the right calls in. DeSean Jackson, listen, man, on that play, he wasn't showboating or anything else. He was trying to do it. The ball was just in the wrong hand. It happens. I'm not going to kill him for that because in reality, because of where the defender was, if he had the ball in the other hand or try to hold it back over to the inside, the defender could have knocked the ball out of his hands. So technique-wise, he did what he did everything right. He just, you know, couldn't hit the pylon with the right body position. I'm not going to kill him for that. Now, I will kill him and Jordan Reed, the so-called, he won the best tight ends in the game. I'm sorry, what happened in the second half of that game? Where was Jordan Reed? Was he on the field? Was he in the stadium? Anybody? How many catches did Jordan Reed have in the second half of that game?
I think three. I think he had three catches in the second half.
I don't think he had any. honestly. But if he had three, I guarantee it was for nothing. How many catches did Deshaun Jackson have in the second half of that game?
Shut out.
Funny how that works, huh? The Green Bay secondary is terrible. We all know that.
Right.
Yet you couldn't get the ball to your primary playmakers, and I'm supposed to believe that this dude is a franchise quarterback. You couldn't get the ball to your primary playmakers. You couldn't audible out of calls to get your team in the right play. You take it. You on fourth down, you throwing the ball away instead of throwing it into the end zone. Are you serious? Come on, son. I'm not trying to hear. I don't think that the Washington Redskins, and I love this line I heard on NFL Network, Honey Bun, Eddie Lacy, run all over you. Okay. Well, by the way, Eddie Lacy, Jesus Christ, man. Get a bigger jersey. Nobody wants to see your belly, dude. Seriously, get a bigger jersey. He looks like a fat slob, dude. His belly's the same size as mine. That's a damn shame. I got an excuse. I got spinal damage. What's yours, Lacey? You fat bag of crap. That's just a damn shame. But no, I didn't think Washington would win. I didn't think they stood any shot. I think once Green Bay kind of got their footing and realized that all the Redskins had was a pass rush, and all they needed to do was go up-tempo, and that the other coaches wouldn't be able to adjust to match them, it would be over, and that's exactly what happened.
Tommy, your thoughts on this game? Washington basically getting stymied after Green Bay got accustomed to what they wanted to do, and do you agree with Chandler? Is there, how do I say this? Is there a three to five-year window for Kirk Cousins as a starter for this Washington Redskins team, or do you think that this is more or less they're waiting to get a better quarterback option sooner or later?
I agree with Chandler. I mean, I've seen reports coming out of D.C. Well, first, did anybody else besides me see where the security on the field was shaking RG3's hands and giving him a hug and telling him good job, good luck, and everything else?
Oh, he's out of there. He's gone. That's what I was talking about
Showing that when he was walking in the back while the game was going on, and the one camera angle they showed him where the security down below was all giving him handshakes and patting him on the back and everything else. He's gone. Of course, there's reports that Dan Snyder wants RG3 to stay. But to get to the game, I mean, the Packers did exactly what I said when I said the three keys. Lacy had to show up and run. There were times where he showed up and ran. But then there's times where he tippy-toed and everything and didn't want to run. The defense had to play. Put pressure on Cousins. They did that. The offensive line had to block and give Rodgers time. They did that after that sack with that safety. If I remember correctly, I don't think they got to Rodgers the rest of the game, did they?
No, I don't think they did.
When he got sacked, he was pissed, and I think it was the line coach he got on. And then it was like, I guess the line coach got on them, and they never got to him. I mean, yeah, I picked Washington to win, but I thought if the Packers did the three things I said yesterday, they would win. Jordan Reed, actually, I think he had three or four catches. I know he's the first tight end to go over 100 yards in a game. He had like 110 or whatever in the game. Jordan Reed's not a bad tight end. It's Cousins. How many times was the receiver open and he's sitting there popping the ball with his hand? He's got to learn to get rid of the football. Or take off running or Do something. Cousin sits there and he holds the ball, pumping. Where do I go? It's like he just looks lost. If you take away his first read, he looks lost.
Okay. I'm caught up several different ways, like, especially with the Reed situation. You know, Reed is more of a downfield tight end. He's not a blocking tight end. That's the one thing that actually bothers me with the Detroit Lions. Like, they got Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron is more of a downfield threat, just like Reed is. And that's where I think Green Bay picked up on it, because Reed was killing them in the first half. Once they basically bracketed him, that's exactly what you're talking about, Tommy. He didn't know where to go with the ball. And it's like, you got a receiver with 4-2 speed. And not to just say you're going to get that, fly route to be there all the time, but make something happen. Like make something happen. Give this guy the opportunity to make a play. They shut DeSean Jackson down. Shut him down. Kept him out of a playoff game. And just like Chandler said, their secondary is extremely questionable. Extremely questionable. I just don't get it. And this has been the echo of that team all season long. Where is that running game? I mean, there's been a couple of plays that they have within this game. Alfred Morris had big yardage plays, but they didn't even give Alfred Morris the opportunity to, you know, carry the ball a good amount of times and get that defense to think. It was all Cousins throwing the ball all day. It was more or less they get the tee off on them. How many times you seen them taking sacks or being hurried or, you know, fumbling or situations like that? I mean, several times. Like, they were having – it was to a point where it looked like Green Bay's defense was literally having fun putting pressure on them. So I want to see this pan out to be like a 2 to 3 year project. I want to see how long Gruden thinks that this is going to work out for Cousins. And yes, I feel good that, I wasn't wrong, because the way that game started, I thought I was going to lose, and I was like, that's already the Super Bowl for me. I already said the Packers and the Broncos, and at least the Packers held up their end so far. So I feel good. I have a caller in queue calling out of the 404. We have Nosh in the building. Nosh, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, can I say God is good?
For the time.
There we go. I like to see a fraud exposed, man. So, you know, it was a beautiful thing for me. I had to pull the reverse jinx and actually pick the team to win. And it paid off for me, man. It was a beautiful football, man. Everything you guys said about the guy is right. He's a limited guy. He did seem to have trouble when they took away the first read or whatever the strength of the play was. He also seemed really aware of the narrative of his interceptions and was determined not to throw them, especially late in the game. When they were trying to come back, he looked like he did not want to take any chances because he was worried about a pick. They dropped one when two defenders collided, and I think that even shook him up a little more. But, look, man, you don't get it. Look, if Andrew Luck gets 20 mil a season, you telling me you giving this dude 20 mil a season? I stick to my argument, man. Shout out to the UK. But it is what it is, man. Chickens came home to roost. A bad team that's been feasting on bad teams got beat by a pretty good team. And I'm still not convinced about the Packers as well. But much better than those Redskins, man. That was a nice beatdown. And they didn't actually require the super performance from Aaron that I thought would be needed for them to win. Aaron, I mean, he managed the game well, played well, but it wasn't anything like, you know what I mean, best to A-Rod or anything.
I agree. That's what I thought would actually end up happening, that Rodgers would have to put up an interesting game. I didn't think that Green Bay's defense will hold them to 18 points. And just like Chandler said, one offensive touchdown in which Kirk Cousins had to scramble that in there. Kirk Cousins had to get the ball across the goal line for them to score an offensive touchdown. Right.
Yeah.
This is what they were stuck with here. Even though, like I said, DeSean Jackson, he should have had that touchdown. And just like Chandler said, if he would have extended for the goal line, he possibly could have fumbled. I think he could have beat that guy there, and he more or less tried to tiptoe across the goal line because he knew that he at least could get across that portion of the goal line. You got to make sure the ball crosses the goal line. So that's neither here nor there. I am I am concerned about, just like Nas said, I am concerned about the Packers moving forward because they are playing a very hot Arizona Cardinals team. But I think this game right here gives the Packers their mojo. And I think the last time Rodgers lost on the road significantly was in the University of Arizona Stadium a few years back when Arizona had that Super Bowl run where it was like a 58-48 game. I don't know if you guys remember that game, but it was a bloody game. And it was scoring like at its all-time best. It was something like that. The score was high scoring. And Aaron Rodgers lost the game off of that like fumble pick six or whatever. It wasn't a 10-point game. It was a 6-point game. Because
Arizona whooped them this year.
Right, 38-8. That was the previous score this year. But I'm saying within a playoff situation while the Packers were on the road, Rodgers had lost there also. So I am concerned about how that game does pan out down there. But I think Rodgers does have his mojo back, especially playing a Redskin team that basically came after them tooth and nail and still couldn't do nothing with them. So I think this could actually be something that we do have to watch, wait, and see. But I'm saving this last portion of the show right here for the national championship. That's right. We are in the last 20 minutes of the show. Call the number 917-889-9592. Who do you got? What matchup are you watching for? Is it Saban? Is it Sweeney? Is it the Crimson Tide? Is it Clemson? Is it Deshaun? Is it Derek? Who brings the trophy back to their respective portion of the southeastern region of the United States of America? Man, I can't lie. Before this all went down, I called it. I feel good for City. I said the national championship would be Clemson and Alabama, and I'm not going to stick to it. I think Clemson wins this game, people. I think Clemson wins this game. Clemson is the offense that can spread that defense out and make Alabama have to earn it defensively. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't even want to make it look like I'm totally against Nick Saban or anything because he's a monster at what he does. Just like Sweeney said, probably the Bill Belichick of college football, so on and so forth. But watching Derrick Henry bring a Heisman Trophy back to Tuscaloosa, I think that's a chip on Watson's shoulder. And I think the rest of this Clemson team should rally and get ready for this game. I want to see how you guys feel about this game, what matchups you're watching for, and who do you like and why. Who do you got in the national championship game? Nas, you just came to the kitchen. Have at it.
Look, man, after this NFL playoff weekend where I went 2-2 with my picks, I'm a little shook like Kirk Cousins, man. So I'm going to go with the traditional safe pick, and I'm going to go with Saban and those boys, even though everything Todd just said is legit, man. Clemson has the quarterback to beat them. They have the scheme as far as the spread. And I guess I would tell everybody, watch this during the game. Does Clemson keep a formation on the field that doesn't allow Alabama to rotate that D-line like they've been doing all season? Can they kind of hurry it up and not let them substitute? Because that would be the biggest thing going for Clemson. But, man, too big, too strong, too fast, man. I'm going Alabama, man. Coker has a surprise MVP because they load up the box for Henry in my mind.
Breaking news, Sports City, breaking news. Vontaze Burfict suspended 3 games next season in the 2016-2017 season. He suspended 3 games for that hit. Wow. Wow, 3 games. What? Full City, I'm saying it here in January. I'm saying it right now here in January. Watch by August, it gets cut to a game. Watch. They're cutting that to a game. I'm saying it here right now, January 11th, they'll cut it to a game. They want to be real hard. That's ridiculous. It's a hit. And yeah, he targeted because he didn't have to hit him, and he hit him in the helmet, so on and so forth. 3 games. Three games. Come on, Goodell. Do something up there. I'm not even going to push you around. I'm going to leave you alone. So he's suspended for 3 games. Well, let me proceed. Tommy, your thoughts on this game, matchups that you're watching out for, who you like and why? Have at it.
Well, everybody knows, unless they've been living under a rock or just don't listen to the show and just listen, I'm a Kings fan. Since Clemson got my head coach fired, thank you, I'm going with Clemson. But I am scared. I am scared because there are reports that game time decision on their two top defensive players, Shaq Lawson and then the tight end, their top corner. If that corner doesn't play, that leaves that speedster outside for Bama, the true freshman. I can't think of his name right now. The real fast dude that they've got that goes deep. That could leave a matchup. It scares me. But I think with Dabo, he still has some kind of trick plays or something up his sleeve. Watch. I think if, like Nas said, if they can keep it tempo, wear this team down, they might be able to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, Nas, I heard you trying to say something before I throw it to Chandler.
No, I'll wait. I was going to comment on purposes. I'll wait.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy. Chandler, your thoughts on the game, what matchup you're watching out for, and who do you like in this game and why?
Well, I know if I'm Vontae is perfect, I'm camped outside Jim Nance's door. Because Jim Nance is the reason he got 3 games. Let me be real clear, Ty. They are not knocking that down. Jim Nance was on a mission to get that young man suspended, and he got him suspended. Okay? As far as the Clemson game, I got Clemson. I'm not actually a fan of Clemson. I really don't like Clemson. I don't really believe in Clemson. I just hate Alabama. I do think that Clemson is faster than people think. I think they're just as fast as Alabama, if not faster. I think they have a very underrated running game, and I'm not talking about Deshaun Watson. But I'm going to tell you what the turning point play of the game is right now. Seth Ryan, the holder, they're going to be going for a field goal. There's going to be a box snap. Seth Ryan is going to get that ball and make a pass and get that ball completed to keep their drive alive, and that's going to give them the momentum to win the game. And, yes, I'm saying that because that's Rex Ryan's son, and I love me some Rex. Damn it. So, I'm going with Clemson because Rex Ryan's son is on Clemson.
I got something for Chandler. Remember when I said that Rex Ryan was going to hire his brother and everybody laughed and joked at me? Rob Ryan's the new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I know, man. I know.
Slash associate head coach.
Listen, man, I don't have a brother. You guys
neither
may.
Do I.
Okay, have siblings. But I can't fault somebody for giving a family member a job. I'm never going to do that. Because if Marty Schottenheimer's son can get a job because his last name is Schottenheimer, and Kyle Shanahan can have a job because his last name is Shanahan, and Jay Gruden can be a head coach because his last name is Gruden, then Rob Ryan can get a job because his brother wants him on his staff.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, Nas, you said you wanted to say something about Vontaze Burfict as well with his three-game suspension as well.
Oh, yeah. Look, I just echo Chandler's point about Nance and the broadcasting team making it out to be much bigger than what it was and turning it into some kind of villain thing. And the other part of it is the NFL loves these rivalry games. We saw it before with Pittsburgh and Baltimore all through those years. Now it's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. So they officiate these games in a way where they let things get kind of out of control because they know that's what people want to see. They want the ratings and all of that. But then on the back end, they want to cover up and say clean football and all this after they just let all of that carnage go. And I think Bomani Jones had the best point of the weekend on this whole thing. With Cincinnati, Mike Brown likes open box specials. That's what he called it. And that's basically the guys with high talent, but really, you know, character questions about them in the draft, so they drop low. Mike Brown scoops him up in the third, fourth, and fifth round. He takes the chance on these guys because, you know, he's getting high talent for low dollar. But what else do you get from that? You get all of the bad that comes with it. So when you got Pac-Man and him on the same team, you know, things are going to happen. There are going to be times to where they lose their cool, but I don't think you can blame any coach for that. No coach is controlling those guys. If you have them on the roster, there will be some problems. But that thing this weekend where we saw Porter on the field jawing at Pac-Man Jones, and, I mean, Pac-Man shouldn't have fell for the bait, of course. But if you're an official, you're supposed to stop that situation. You're not supposed to allow Porter to come on the field and start jawing at players in the game, and then when the players respond, then you throw a flag, like,
Ty,
I can't respect it, man.
Ty, you see, this is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what we were just talking about. Hold on. See, in the green room, Ty, what did I say to you in the green room? What did I say to you? Everybody's talking about, he wasn't talking to Pac-Man Jones, first of all, okay? He was surrounded by four Bengal players. And if you watch the video, actually watch the entire section of the video, okay? Number 50-something for the Bengals, Gilberry, actually bumps Joey Porter with his chest and moves him. Another Bengals player bumps Joey Porter. The officials then come in to get Joey Porter off because the officials did not want to throw a flag. Pac-Man Jones was not in that group of players. He came off of the sideline where he was standing milling around waiting for them to deal with Antonio Brown and pushed the official to get to Joey Porter. Joey Porter wasn't talking to Pac-Man Jones. Pac-Man Jones had a damn thing to do with what was going on there. He took it upon himself to be selfish and like, I'm going to do something about this. Okay? Two players, if you watch the video now, just watch the video. Gilberry is his name. Bumped Joey Porter. No flag was thrown. Not one flag was thrown until Pac-Man Jones shoved an official.
Right, I hear you, but saying shoved is a little strong. Let's say reached over trying to yell at Joey Porter.
No, he pushed him in the back.
Okay, but
he pushed him in the back.
Let's go to the initial point, though. Joey Porter never should have been on the field.
Okay, does that justify you being selfish enough? Does that justify selfish act?
The official is supposed to remove him from the field. He's not supposed to be on the field.
Listen, regardless of that, okay, they didn't throw a flag on
the
Shazier hit. They didn't throw a flag on the Shazier hit, okay? And that should have been a penalty. That should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you. Here's the thing, though. Here's the piece. Regardless of whether they threw a flag or not, right, Pac-Man Jones, now, if they had thrown a flag on one of the players around Joey Porter, I would totally agree with you. I would totally agree with you. If they had thrown a flag on the dude Gilberry, who shoved Porter with his chest, I would agree with you because at that point, I say Joey Porter baited him. The officials were standing right there. They were standing right there the entire time, okay? They were standing there the whole time. This was about 2 minutes that Joey Porter was standing there going back and forth with this group of Bengal players that did not include Adam Jones. And not one of those players got a flag. Not one of them. So what I'm saying to you is this. The officials didn't want to throw a flag on anybody. So they let them talk, because we all know Joey Porter likes to talk. They let them talk until it got to a point where the Bengal players were about to do something stupid. And the officials, if you notice, were stepping in and they were moving Joey Porter. So at that point, if Pac-Man Jones does not decide to be selfish, right, then there is no other penalty. The Steelers still have to go another 30 yards, which we all know they would not have been able to do because Ben Roethlisberger couldn't throw the ball more than a yard. Okay? That's my point.
That's another interesting thing because the Bengals are acting like he still could or they were afraid that he still could and dropping back in coverage, which is what you can blame on Marvin and the D coordinator out there in Cincinnati. Now, that I'll throw at his feet. But like I said, man, if you think somebody's going to control Pac-Man Jones or that linebacker, there's no coach in the NFL that's going to do that. That's why they're on that team. That's why Pac-Man has been on so many different teams. He's a troubled dude who doesn't think well. I don't think it's a thing of selfishness. It's just a thing of somebody who can't control their emotions and actions. He's always been an undisciplined guy who nobody could tell anything to. So yeah, he fell for the bait. But like I said, no matter what, Joey Porter should not have been on the field. We know Joey Porter. He was not out there saying good game, guys. Like, it wasn't right, man. And Pac-Man, more than anything, his reputation is what killed it. Because I'm sure the ref was like, oh, hell no, not this month. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's what I'm saying.
I'm never going to be a Pac-Man apologist. He's got a lot wrong with him, as he has shown over the years and years. But if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and you continue with this process of we're going to draft these troubled guys who everybody else has questions about, who have high talent, and then we'll get a quarterback in the mid-round and we'll kind of build a good team on the low, but we're going to have serious, serious character issues. I mean, this is what you got. The Jeremy Hill fumble is where the game was lost in my mind, but
either way, man,
Ferguson went from hero to GOAT, and, man, 0-60, dude. That was amazing to see somebody go from hero to GOAT that quickly.
But you know what's sad about that? And Burkett was stupid for what he did, but that's not the play that lost him the game. It was the second penalty that cost him the game. And everybody's in such a rush to kill Burkett that nobody's paying attention to the fact that Pac-Man Jones' penalty is what gave the game away, not Burkett. Listen, they could have lived with it. They could have survived that 15-yard penalty. They really could have. They would have survived that because Ben couldn't throw the damn ball. They had no more timeouts. It was, what, 18 seconds left in the game? They had no more timeouts. They would have had to go 30 yards in 18 seconds with a man who couldn't throw the ball more than a yard. It's the Adam Jones penalty. It's the Adam Jones penalty. And why I blame Marvin Lewis is real simple. Too many players from that team have said they knew that something like this was going to happen. Too many players from that team have not come out to defend their teammates either one. And here's why I really blame Marvin Lewis. Didn't we go through this with Chad Johnson and T.J. Hushmanzada and Corey Dillon? Didn't Carson Palmer
Do you notice the pattern?
Yes.
Trouble guys in the later round to a high talent, they pick. This is the Cincinnati model. And obviously it hasn't worked out in the end because they haven't won a playoff game. But like I said, if they start Marvin tomorrow, Marvin's going to go somewhere and show that he's a great coach. And Cincinnati will go back to being the Bengals. I just want to remind everybody of who they were before he got there. I think people forget. This was the Bengals. Like Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns fans had somebody to look down upon back then. Like, remember that.
I remember Kenny Anderson. I remember Kenny Anderson. I remember Chris Collinsworth. Oh, by the way, for those of you that don't know, Chris Collinsworth could ball, okay?
Ball.
He wasn't a Hall of Famer. But he could ball, all right? I remember those Bengals. I remember the Icky Shuffle Bengals. So the Bengals weren't always bad. Now, screw Boomer Esiason. I can't stand Boomer. I'd run him over with my car and back up and hit him again.
Because he did the Jets dirty.
Look,
exactly.
You're
terrible.
Oh, Boomer is 100% that bull. If you heard all the Captain Saban he had from Kirk last night, oh, my God. I thought Kirk Cousins was his son for a minute. Like, I mean, everything was either excused, massaged, or put on somebody else. So, yeah, I've never liked Boomer as well. Salute for that one. But, dude, the Bengals have a lot of problems, and all of their problems are based in the model that they draft in. You can get rid of Pac-Man, but you can't get rid of Burf. You can't get rid of Burf. I can't even say the brother's name. You can't get rid of him, man. The talent is too much. They're going to try to harness it.
No. It's, oh, by the way, Todd, the game will start till 7:30. I'm just saying. But, no, you can't get rid of Burfict. We all know that. But here's my problem last night with the coaching staff as a whole. When Joey Porter was on that field, and I know some coach saw that. You know, the first person I would have walked over and stood next to and put my hand around his throat and said, if you move, I will snap your neck, would have been Adam Jones. I would have stood right next to him and said, if you move, I will kneecap you.
Yeah.
But none of them did that. That's where I put all the coaches there. Go ahead.
Do you all see the Steelers when that flag went flying? in the back. I mean, the linemen started clapping, smiling. The Joey Porter, when they finally threw it, it was like he went out there on purpose to get a flag thrown.
Yes,
he did.
Did you see the smile on his face when they threw the flag? He looked like the cat that ate the canary. Now, you know it's not the phrase I want to use, but I'm going to keep it clean. Okay. He looked like the cat that ate the damn canary. Joey Porter, I've never seen that man smile before. I didn't know he could smile.
The Steelers, the one fat slob that they have on the offensive line, 62, whatever his name is, I thought you would think he won that Powerball as bad as he jumped up and was happy.
Yeah, man. But then we got to add this to Marvin though, man. Would you consider AJ McCarron a solid NFL quarterback or just a backup for spot duty? We had this conversation early in the season when I told y'all, I'm not too much an Andy Dalton guy. I think you plug somebody else in there with that talent at the skill position, you still can win. AJ McCarron almost beat the Steelers in a playoff game. And should have beat him. If people are accuracy disciplined, it should have beat him. Like, how crazy is that? And like I said, the penalties were bad, but that Jeremy Hill fumble was horrible. And it's amazing. I hate to skip games on y'all because I know y'all talked about this game earlier. But the great Adrian Peterson seems to miss all bullets as far as criticism for his huge fumble in that game against Seattle.
Because Adrian stood up there and said it was his fault. He went ahead and copped to it right off the top. And that's why Jeremy Hill isn't getting a lot of criticism, because he stood there and copped to it and said, I shouldn't have put the ball on the ground. And once you do that, then people, you know what they say? Oh, well, you're good. You admitted it. If Marvin Lewis just once in these 7 playoff losses, just once, had said, you know what? We screwed up and lost the game. He got up there last night and said, oh, well, they called one penalty one way and they called another penalty another. And I'm not going to talk about this guy. No. Take some responsibility, Marvin. For once, stand up there and say, you know what? We beat ourselves. We lost this game because we were stupid. And all of the stuff about him not controlling the team, all that stuff will go out the window if he would just accept some damn responsibility. If Adam Jones had gone on Instagram and said, I screwed up. The ref should have gave Joey Porter a flag, but it's my fault for being stupid. If he had screamed about himself instead of the refs, guess what everybody would be saying today? Joey Porter's the bad guy. All right? It wouldn't be about Adam Jones being an idiot. If Vontaze Burfict had stood there and said, you know what? I don't think that was a penalty, but in today's NFL it is, so that's my fault. I got to be better. None of this conversation would be going on. Instead, we got Marvin Lewis making excuses. We got Vontaze Burfict. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Like I said last night, what are we, 12-year-olds? I'm rubber, you glue. What you say bounces off of me and sticks back to you.
I don't want to get fined. But let's be honest though, man. If we're gonna have every defender held to that standard that Burfict got held to, as far as coming at a receiver, and if the receiver dips his head, where can I hit you? Can I hit you in the knees? Can I hit you in the chest? Where can I hit you? If you dip your head and I'm coming at you full steam, 4-3 speed, what can I do here?
That's a penalty all season. It's a penalty all season. Remember the line game.
Doesn't change the dynamic, though. How do I stop myself in the middle of coming at you?
You just live with the fact that they're going to call a penalty. That face mask on Aaron Rodgers, which you all know wasn't a face mask. Aaron Rodgers was smart enough to dip his head, and snap his neck.
Yep.
So they called the penalty. Antonio Brown was smart enough to see him coming and stick his head out there. Because that's the way the rules are. So if you know how the rules are, unfortunately, guess what? You got to live with it when you get a good hit and they call a penalty. And you got to hope, like you Ryan Shazier, that you're one of the few guys that the guy you hit with the crown of your helmet is a running back who the NFL don't care about, so they're not going to call a penalty. Because if Ronnie Shazier had hit a wide receiver or a quarterback like that, his ass would have been out of the game. He would have been tossed out of the league, okay? Yeah. But he had a running back, no big deal. This is the league that they play in, period, end of story. So guess what? You have to understand that, and when you have a shot to clean the guy up, you can't take it. Now, if he had thrown his arm straight up in the air and danced like he was doing a damn mambo and still grazed his helmet, they wouldn't have thrown the flag. They wouldn't have.
But I got to say, though, Chandler, well, you know what that leads to? That leads to your D coordinator talking about, look, man, finish the hit. I don't want to hear that shit. Finish the hit. And if you're going to play football like that, that's going to lead to what? Broken tackles and long games, and now you're a bad defensive team and a poor tackling team.
That's what the NFL wants, just like Chandler said. That's what they want.
They want offense, man. They want offense at the expense of defense. I don't know why people are still not getting it. They want the casual fan to come in there and not say, oh, this is horrific, this is barbaric. They will say, oh, these guys, it's so fun watching them run up and down the field against each other. Okay? That's what they want. That's what they want.
Fantasy football.
That's why if I'm ever fortunate to have a son, I'm raising him to be a wide receiver or a running back, play offense. He's not going to play defense. He's not going to be taught anything about defense.
Why do you
need to put that baseball bat in his hand? What you doing, Tom?
I'm saying. All they got to do is hit 270. He can get $80 million. But the fantasy football aspect has permeated the NFL. And they – listen, you think it's a coincidence that all these family-friendly NFL commercials have been airing since we first heard about the concussion film? It's no damn coincidence. It's no damn coincidence. But the fact of the matter is, yes, it's fantasy football driven. It is fantasy football driven because that is making them even more money than Vegas is. They're making more money off the daily fantasy sports than they are off the gambling. Okay?
Yeah,
and now they got to come up with both ways. They got the daily fantasy sports money coming in. They got the gambling money coming in.
You're going to heads-up tackle A.J. Green? No,
hey,
you're not.
No. No, but I tell you what, you better not doggone try to hurt him because you're cutting into my cash flow, son. I will put you out of the league.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you and Tommy, does Pac-Man get a job next year? He's better than the average corner, like no matter what, even at his age and still with the crazy and everything else involved. Does he get a job?
Yeah. He's going to either be with the Bengals or the Raiders or the Rams, somebody's going to give him a job because he can still cover. And he's still a dangerous punt returner. He can still take it to the house. You know, he still has, you know, above-average speed. He still has above-average cover skills. And if he shut that corner like Ty said, absolutely not. He couldn't shut me down. But is he a good corner? Is he an above-average corner? Yeah, he still is. He still is. So, yeah, he's got a job. Trust me, he's got a job next season. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. Listen, there's some teams that need some quarterbacks. I would not be surprised to see him on. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if the New York Giants sign him. That's how desperate they are for anybody that can cover a damn wide receiver.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd see Baltimore get him. Now, listen, get Baltimore get him. You hire Ed Reed or Ray Lewis in there to mentor him, to get his head straight.
That man is 30-something years old. He don't mentor him.
Deion Sanders walked away. I said, I can't do nothing with him. I can't tell him anything. Deion Sanders walked away. Nobody's going to mentor him.
No, he's over 30 years old. He is who the hell he is, man. They don't mentor that idiot. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, we all have that one friend that we know we can only do certain things with. We know we can't take him certain places because no matter how much he promised, he's going to behave, right? When we go to that nice restaurant, when we're sitting there and we trying to act like we got some good sense, he's going to do something stupid and embarrass us. We all have him. Pac-Man Jones is that guy.
Yeah.
Basically, he's me, Ty, like I did to you.
I don't care if it's 80 y'all and only two of us. Let's fight. Yeah, yeah.
Look at here, Sports City. We got a game to go catch. I need these dudes to plug and close out. Because I got a party to go to, okay? I want to enjoy this national championship food, too, okay? I don't want to eat burgers, okay? I want the ribs and the prime rib that my boy got hooked up for us. And a seven-layer nacho dip. Try that, okay? And I don't even eat guacamole, but I'm going to do it today. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. If you want to comment on the game, do you think Derrick Henry will have 30 carries today? Does Deshaun have a 300-100 game? And 300-yard pass and 100-yard rushing, do you think you'll have that type of game? Does this Crimson Tide defense shut it down? And if anything y'all want to close out with, please do so. Nas, I'll lead off with you.
Ty, I know you've got somewhere to go, so I'll just be real brief. Dabo Sweeney has a chief of staff as a part of his coaching staff, $100,000 a year job. Once again, NCAA and their corruption and just ill will towards that people that actually produce the money that all of them put in their pocket. Sharecropping 101, NCAA football.
Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote, anything that you like to close out with, and I'm going to give it to you here, Tommy, anything that you like to predict before we leave the show tonight.
Good show, everybody. Hope everybody has a good night. I'll speak to you probably Sunday. I've got two basketball games I've got to help coach. Tuesday and Friday. I might try to get in on Thursday. I got to see how it goes. If I'm Dabo, I don't run Watson as much as you do because, I mean, these boys can hit in Bama. I think you read off a lot of it's hard to say what they're going to do, but I do hope Clemson wins. Do too. It brings championship home to the ACC.
Last but not least, tonight, you know what to do right here. Anything that you like to predict before we walked away from the wrap-up?
A lot of fun tonight, fellas. Now I know who that coach was that had butted the ref. It was Dan Tunney. Seth Ryan.
Listen, Rex, if you're listening, you have a triplet. You're not a twin. You're a triplet. Your third brother, he's black, and he's from Brooklyn, okay? SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Be back here tomorrow with the cookout. The grill should be on fire, especially with a winner of the national championship tonight. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend, and it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now, block kids, who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on boat train. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow, and then, of course, falters. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch, Mama Lawton. Have you believed black invented crack when President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy? Yes, the double cross. Remember, that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one-armed pets. Nixon bounce, here in text. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demo raw for cess. No dough, crack and bailed money.
Take a second, think back, think back. Think Brooklyn, back. Traveling distance to party, Brooklyn. Absent functions at Hartley, Brooklyn. The name alone holds godly. You don't know, you better ask somebody.